Carla?
What not to bring up? When is it a good time, says Rukot, Perik Yud Misna'ala? When is it the appropriate time to start learning Pnimius HaTorah, the more mystical, the more Kabbalistic, the hidden messages of Torah? Now, why do I find this so fascinating? Because many people think that they know the Pashut answer to it, right? Everyone knows, well, age 40, right? Everyone knows you're not supposed to open any Kabbalistic book until you're 40. It's dangerous, it's not for us, etc. But Rav Kook takes an entirely different approach and is absolutely fascinating. I think it was revolutionary in many circles in his time, but much more accepted today, and I think a lot of it, this is due to Rav Kook. Kishahatshuka ha-pnimis shal kirvas Hashem hi chazaka mis'aleh u'misgaberas. There's a point in a person's life where there is an inner yearning within a person's soul for kirvas Hashem. A person wants to feel that closeness. And that hishtokikus, that shuka, that drive, is so dominating, is so intense. Ad shelo titein manoach lenefesh. It doesn't allow the soul to be at ease, to the point that a person constantly feels that his soul is disrupted. It's not at peace with itself. It feels limited. It feels like it's been enclosed by Torah. It feels like Torah is like closing in, and it's very defined, right? In Iyun Shir, what do we do all the time? We're talking about definitions, right? The word for definition in Hebrew is a geder, right? But geder also means what in Hebrew? It means a fence. So what can Limud Torah benigle? What could that theoretically lead to? Says Rav Kook. It could lead you to the feeling of being enclosed. I have a tshuka. I have a desire for kirvas Hashem that is not being satisfied. A drive that's not being fulfilled with the open Torah, with the revealed Torah, with the classic morning Seder and afternoon Seder and night Seder, Chazara. There's a drive there that's not being met. And Rav Kook here is saying that a person has to listen to that inner voice. Sometimes you will find an inner voice speaking to you and saying, I am unhappy with the Torah that is closing me in, the Torah that is defining, the Torah that is halachic. I'm looking for more than that. The Eina Masbia es Cheftza, Bishum Tochen Ruchani Vekadosh Shabaola. To the point that the Nefesh feels that there is nothing in this world that is satisfying it, even its spiritual endeavors. Even when it's involved in Kedusha, the Nefesh feels this starvation. The Nefesh feels denied. I'll give you guys an example. Let's say the Nefesh is feeling this drive for Kirvas Hashem. So what does the Nefesh do? The Nefesh doesn't want all the physical stuff, right? The Nefesh wants to be unlimited. It wants to break all the boundaries. It wants to feel Kirvas Hashem. So the Nefesh will, let's say, look forward to a Shabbos. Shabbos, that's already Ruchni, right? But if Shabbos is just full of Gedarim, if Shabbos is, if the encounter with God on Shabbos is just through the Isurim, then what's the nefesh going to feel as a result of this davar ruchni? Right, the nefesh is unhappy with the gashmi, but a guy's got to go to work. You have to put food on the table. You have to delve into physical matters. You have to eat and sleep. You have to get married. But the nefesh is longing, right? The nefesh wants God. So where does the nefesh find God? It finds God in spiritual matters. But says Rav Kook, sometimes, and this isn't true for everybody, sometimes the nefesh will find that even in spiritual matters, it's not being satisfied. Why not? Because if those spiritual matters are another wall, they're another limitation. You must not do this. You must not do that. It's further things that I cannot do. But the nefesh is looking for something else. The nefesh is looking for this kirva, this relationship. Or I'll give you another example. Let's say the nefesh wants to connect with God. So the nefesh naturally is going to look forward to tefillah. Tefillah is a classic time to connect with God. But what happens when tefillah, from the perspective of that nefesh, is just a long list of halachos? Is it din of birkos kriyas shma? Is it a birkas hashevach? What kind of bracha is it? Is it a birkas hamitzvah? And then there's shema, and shema is a din daoraisa, shivtecha bevesecha, sugyas beishamai beis hillel. If all of tefillah is an encounter with God through these gedarim, through these fences, then what's the nefesh going to feel? It's going to feel that I'm not really connected. The tefillah, which is something spiritual, could be perceived by the nefesh as something that's limiting, something that's holding back the nefesh. So what's the nefesh going to do in such a case? How does an individual satisfy that thirst for God if it doesn't even find God in spiritual matters? What is he going to do? Says Rav Kook as follows, Ki'im ima higayon hapnimi hamedaber barazei olam. There is something, chevra, about the secrets of this world. There's something about the hiddenness of this world. There's something about those inner hidden messages that gives the nefesh a true opportunity to be a flight, to break the shackles of this world. For some individuals, they will find that in Sisrei Torah, when they start to delve into Zohar's, and the concepts of the spheros and the midos, there's something there in that wisdom that Rav Kook says the soul is longing for. The soul is looking for the inner meaning. The soul is really looking for the godliness as it appears to us in this world from the human perspective. Isn't that what Sisrei Torah is? What is Pnimius HaTorah? Pnimius HaTorah is the way the human being, the lashon, the language that the human being uses to describe and to perceive of Elokus in this world. And sometimes the nefesh wants the master. Sometimes the nefesh wants the ribon ha'olamim. He doesn't want it just via these mediums of the outer Torah. Sometimes that just whets the appetite to be tofes, to grasp something that's deeper than that. I want to get as close to the center of MS as possible. Zos hi hatchuna shel esek b'Torah lishma. The Kook says a person that follows that inner call. What's he saying? He's saying that the individual knows when it's time to be Osek, the Sisrei Torah. It's not an age. There are no tests that you have to pass. It doesn't even sound like you need a haskama. It doesn't even sound like you have to get your Rebbe's approval. Now, I'm assuming that Rav Kook meant that this is something that should be spoken over with the Rebbe. It should probably be reviewed with the Rebbe. How do you know really what this tshuka, what this drive is coming from? So I think a person, sometimes you need spiritual guidance to realize what this tshuka is coming from. Rav Kook says, how do you know it's time to learn Sisrei Torah? When you feel that call. When you feel that inner drive. When you feel the thirst. The neshama speaks to us, Rav Kook says. The neshama knows how to get its message across. And this, Rav Kook says, this is the attribute of Esek B'Torah Lishma. This is the nafka mina, whether you're learning Torah Lishma or Lo Lishma. A person who's Osek B'Torah Lishma is going to listen to that inner call. A person that is not Osek B'Torah Lishma, he's just going to do what everyone's doing. He's going to do what's on the paper, what's on the yeshiva schedule. You understand? You have to be a little careful here because there is something in this keta in Rav Kook that's a little bit anti-establishment. If you understand what I'm saying, there is here a trace of don't lock me down. Don't put me in a box. I don't want to just be in my Iyun Seder box and my Bekiya Seder box and I do my Chazara Seder. I don't want boxes. There is something here that is somewhat of a reaction to this uniform Seder Hayom that's for everybody. There is something here that is that's a little uncomfortable for the I would call it the yeshiva belt. Because one of the things that's common to the yeshiva belt is a certain shtanz. You understand? There's a certain, you know, there's a ruler, and you got the ruler is straight, you got to size up to that ruler. There's a Seder Hayom, you have a Chavrusa. And Rav Kook here is somewhat of a reaction to that. You can't be too much in the box. Now, I don't think this is for Shana Aleph. I don't think he's saying that in Shana Aleph you should start hiding out in your room opening Zohars during morning Seder. And it probably isn't even for Shana Bet. But it's something that Rav Kook is, you have to, you can't just enter into this mold of Limud HaTorah and just go with inertia. You have to listen to what's happening inside, because sometimes the neshama is screaming for something more inside, a little more beneath the surface. Give me something that's even closer to the center, that pure, unadulterated MS that I'm looking for. And you can't push that aside. If you push aside that drive for Pnimius HaTorah, if you have the drive to be Osek B'Pnimius, you have that thirst, and you push it aside, Rav Kook is saying you're going to end up giving up the Torah HaNigles as well. You're going to end up giving up Abaye and Rava as well. There's another piska that happens to be very, very key. That's very much related to this. If you guys can look back at Perek Tes, Piska Vav. A very, very harif statement. Perek Tes, Piska Vav. Yeshnam Shiyatsu Letarbus Ra'a. There are those that left the Torah way. Tarbus Ra literally means they've gone off the derech. There are those that have left the Torah path and they've gone off the derech. Mipnei shebederech limudam, because while they were in yeshiva, v'hashlamatam haruchanit, and while they were on a growth path, while they were being osek in ruchnias, בגדו בתכונתם האישית המיוחדת. They actually ended up rebelling against their own unique qualities. But Cook is saying plainly stated that we have lost many Jews to closed-minded thinking about what our schedule should look like, too closed as to how much freedom we give our children and our Talmidim. In other words, there's a certain Seder Hayom, and everyone has to fit into that mold, and there are those that ended up giving up, even on the Torah that they did learn, because they were discouraged from following their own netios, from their own tendency, following their own tendencies. Here Rav Cook is saying as well, people need to listen to what's going on inside. What's tricky here is you have to be able to distinguish between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTot. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara is talking and he's clothing himself in this drive for ruchnius. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara will tell you to stay in bed instead of going to morning shir or the Seder, the Kiya Seder. Why? Because God wants something more than that. Sometimes that's the Yetzer Hara speaking to you in the guise of this drive for ruchnius. So you have to be mature enough to be able to discern. When is it the Yetzer Hara? When is it the Yetzer HaTov? Because if it is the Yetzer HaTov, and you silence, if you put a silencer on that voice, the Cook says the results are going to be terribly tragic. Yeshnam Shiyotsu Letarbus Ra'am. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. The Rav Cook, he learned in Volozhiner Yeshiva, 1870s, 1880s. I don't know if you guys are aware of the history, but some of the worst apikorsim and kofrim and enemies of Torah Judaism learned in Volozhin at some point on their, on their spiritual voyage. And Rav Cook thinks that one of the reasons for these people going the Tarbus Ra'am is not because, it's not just because of a Yetzer Hara, that they never got into learning. You know, there are Israeli poets, sofrim, authors. There's this guy, I think his name is Berdichevsky, who Rav Cook actually sat next to on the same bench in the Volozhiner Yeshiva. Google Berdichevsky, the Israeli author. I don't want to say anything bad or inaccurate. But he didn't become one of the Morei Hora of the Yisrael. And Rav Cook here is saying that you have to take into account that sometimes the inner call of the Jew is for something greater, for some pnimius that the Neshama is looking for. And you have to be able to listen to that call and ask and act based upon it. Now, I want to ask you guys what you think about this line in the paragraph you just read. Back to Parak Yud. Rav Cook says something fascinating, something that's somewhat shocking. Because this is the tchuna, this is the characteristic of Esek b'Torah Lishma. This is real Torah Lishma. I would have said exactly the opposite. I would have said a person who's learning in Torah what he wants to do, what he feels connected with, that seems to be more lo lishma than lishma. L'chora, what's the ultimate lishma? Learning Torah not because I feel drawn to it, but rather learning Torah because this is what I'm expected to do. This is my avodah. I'm expected to go to Shir and Seder and learn Gemara and learn Dapim, finish Masechtas. Isn't that more Lishma? Why am I doing it? I'm not doing it because of the geschmack I'm getting out of it. I'm doing it because this is my choyva as a Talmud yeshiva. The cook says the opposite. That's low lishma. You know what real lishma is? When a person listens to that inner voice and tries to guide his limud haTorah according to that thirst, according to that tshuka, that drive that he has within him. Why? Can anyone suggest why Rav Kook thinks that that's called Torah Lishma? I would say, Punt Faker, you're learning because of a drive that you have. You're learning to satisfy a drive that's so self-centered. Yoni, what do you say?
Something I saw in a Rav Tzadok about what does it mean Torah Lishma is that the word Torah really means Moreh, right? To teach us Moreh Drachim. And if we're following Torah Lishma, that means we're following Torah as a guide for our own lives. So if you're following a guide that you don't want, then that can't be Lishma. In order to be Lishma, you have to be using it as a guide for yourself. And if you're not leaning towards that, then that's not Lishma. It's the opposite of Lishma. You're being restricted instead of listening and following and learning.
Interesting. Could very well be. Okay, nice idea, Yossi. Make it quick because I want to say my own thing.
I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like the whole point of learning Torah is to get close to Hashem, right? So if one is not feeling close to Hashem, he's feeling distant. So by learning these things, whether or not it gives the guy his desire, if it's bringing him close to Hashem, that's making it that it's the Shema now, because that's the whole goal of learning Torah.
So, I hear that. Also could be. I would like to say it's Dvar Chiddush, but I have a feeling that this is really what Rav Kook means. The Neshama is a chelek elokam imal. The neshama is not just a creation of God that has its own mind, you know, and develops outside of God. The neshama is actually a chelek elokam imal. So when the neshama speaks to us, what is essentially going on? When the neshama is trying to get its message across to us, Rav Kook views that as if Devar Hashem is reaching us via our neshamas. We're not just trying to serve ourselves when we listen to that neshama. When you listen to your goof, when you follow your physical drives, you low life, you're thinking about yourself, where's your avodas Hashem? But when we listen to the drives of our neshama, the neshama is not something that exists outside of God that can turn its back on God. The neshama isn't really something that has free choice either. The neshama is a chelek elokam imal. This is God's presence within us. Mela, says Rav Kook, listening to your neshama is the ultimate act of Torah Lishma. Because what you're doing is, I want to know exactly what God, where is God directing me? When I listen to my neshama, what I'm doing is I'm listening to where God is sending me. This is my shlichus. If my neshama feels drawn to Pnimius HaTorah, that means God is sending me there. That means my tikkun is there. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this for the geshmak I'm going to get out of it. I'm for sure not doing this because people are going to see me with a zohar open in front of my makom, because if that's why you're doing it, that's the farthest thing from Torah Lishma. What I'm doing is, when I'm listening to that drive of the neshama, is I'm acknowledging that this is my shlichus, that God is sending me there. God has created within me that drive because this is where he's guiding me. That's the ultimate Torah Lishma. Torah Lo Lishma is when a person is learning Torah and God isn't in the picture. I'm doing it because that's what I'm expected to do. That's what everybody's doing. Torah Lishma, I'm doing this because God has set me to accomplish something in this thing about Torah. There's a Kirvas Hashem that he wants me to attain. You can't attain that Kirvas Hashem if you don't listen and you're not sensitive to that pull of your neshama. So is Rav Kook saying that everyone is going to feel this pull I don't think so. Matai, who told Lamod Sisrei Torah? He's not telling everyone to learn Sisrei Torah. All he's saying is, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the feelings of your neshama after a long chunk of time in yeshiva. What is your neshama feeling? Try to put it into words. Sometimes a person will feel that the Torah Hanigles is filling him and he's satisfied by that. Rav Kook says sometimes the neshama is going to start to speak to you. You're capable of more, and there's a whole hidden world in there that you need, that you have to feel connected to. Don't suppress that drive and don't silence that voice. Rather, act on it and acknowledge that your tikkun of your neshama is must be found where your neshama is guiding you. So this is a very, very lofty concept. I just found that, just in my personal life, I felt that this piska was really halacha lemaisa. Because I don't know where I would be today if I just fell into that mold. Do what everybody's doing. I don't know if I would be the same person today. And I think the fact that I was and am drawn to a different melody sometimes. You understand? There's a different signon, a different style, a different language. And you're in a different world. What can I say? This shiur that I'm giving is a result of that inner call. I feel like I can't be too many days without a cook, honestly. I can't go. I feel this drive. I feel this need to connect. And it's something so real inside. So Rav Kook is saying you have to act on that and don't silence it. Yisr koach, everyone. Kol tov, and we hope to see you guys next week.
Yeah, Rabbi.
Kol tov.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah.